Good morning. Good morning, planet Earth. Open up your petals. The sun is out. The sun is burning like a reminder that it is Monday. Because it is Monday, May the 29th, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. It's just after 9 a.m. here in Scompton, Utah. Monday, May the 29th, 2023, Memorial Day. Yeah, I don't know. You make of Memorial Day what you want to. There is a tremendous amount of propaganda that surrounds Memorial Day. And one of the messages is that all of these deaths were necessary deaths for freedom. And that's just not true. Okay, the people that fought in the Revolutionary War died a long time ago unless they were vampires. But with respect to every war, with respect to every pogrom against Native Americans, with respect to every reservation, every trail of tears, for every one mass grave we found, there's probably 100 others. With respect to what our military has done and is currently doing in places like Syria, for example. With all due respect, the people that fought for freedom died a long fucking time ago. The people that fought for the banks, well, some of them are still alive. Maimed, PTSD, trauma, some of them are dead, and we celebrate the dead for the bankers on Memorial Day. We celebrate the dead for the banker wars. We celebrate for the oil we can steal from Syria, for the lithium we can get from Peru. We celebrate for every corner of the planet we can drop a bomb on so we can steal somebody's shit, and usually the people we're stealing from are poor, desperately poor. That is what you're celebrating today on Memorial Day. And if your mom or dad died in a war recently and you want to be angry and upset about it and say, Dan, how dare you? How dare you? If you want to honor the memory of your mom or your dad, figure out the fucking truth. Stop living in a fucking lie. Stop playing pretend. You want to honor the memory of the dead? Try to figure out a way that we don't get more of them. From war. That's what I would propose. But if you're going to say, well, Dan, that's naive and we got to blow things up and humans got to go kill people, then you celebrate your Memorial Day. You'll stack bodies a mile high before it's over, assuming you have that time. We don't. We don't, brothers and sisters. Whatever's coming is right around the corner. It slouches towards Bethlehem on its way to Broadway. It's going to take a corner at Indianapolis, and it's going to see you soon in California, motherfucker. Yeah, whatever you think is slouching towards Bethlehem is going to fall right on top of you right here in the United States of America. And so you can celebrate whatever the fuck you want to today, and you can consider me disrespectful. How dare you? Well, I've talked about my dad's memory and what may or may not have happened to him and my feelings about that, and I don't want to dredge through that again. But what I will tell you is simply this. I can't think of one war in the last century that was necessary, that we had to participate in, and I can't think of any good guys. And if you're going to say World War II, shut the fuck up. Joseph Stalin, the chief number one mass murderer, really, other than Mao Zedong in the 20th century, he was our fucking ally in World War II. He killed tens of millions of people, many of whom, you know, were, Ukrainian. And by the way, he was Georgian, not Russian. So if you want to like hate on Russians, understand, he killed tens of millions of fucking Russians. He killed a lot of people. He murdered a lot of people, and it was so indiscriminate and evil that you could be his best fucking friend, and you could get a knock on the door in the middle of the night, knock, 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 would you like to come to Lubyanka and check out the shower, shithead? Yeah, there's a problem with the plumbing. Will you bend down, fucker? Yeah, your head over the drain will help, comrade. Just right about there, fuckhead. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about your good wars. Tell me about your good wars. And if you're going to say, well, they're fighting for each other, brothers and sisters, I want to live in a free world. If you want to put on a uniform and grab a rifle and go someplace else that isn't my property or my neighborhood or my community, and you want to go play war someplace and take your fucking risks and fight for your brother or your sister, you do that. You feel free. You can pay for your kids to go do that. If you're one of these shitheads in Congress or in the Senate who talks up war, 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 then send your own ass there, Lindsey Graham. I don't care how fucking old you are. The Ukrainians, if you believe the story is true, are rounding up all kinds of people your age and with your proclivities. So you could go ahead and go too, Lindsey, you fuckhead. But you go, you make that choice. You don't force others to go. You don't entice young people who have no hope with free college and then send them to something that maybe best case scenario is going to drive them insane. Yeah, that's called immoral. That's called being a shithead. But you can go, Lindsey. You can take all your neocon friends and you can grab a rifle and you can go with all the chicken hawks and fight. Feel free. But I can't think of anything at this point in human history that's worth killing my brother or my sister over. Except for, you know, my own liberty and self-defense. That is okay. If this was about keeping people from taking away my freedom, I'll grab my rifle, I'll grab my knife, I'll grab my fucking stone and my sling, and I'll remember that, you know, the disciples carried swords. Yeah, they did. If this was about defending freedom, or defending my neighbors, or defending my family, if it was about that, self-defense and sovereignty, you might make an argument my direction, but this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about trying to control parts of the world that we have no fucking business pretending we can or should control. And if you think this will turn out okay, then you believe we're the first empire in the history of empires to make it work, to succeed. But that's a load of horse shit. We're going to burn out as quickly as we burned up. We're going to blow out as quickly as we exploded. We will implode at the rate commensurate with the rate of increase towards the stars. You pick the zenith, you pick the number of years, and that's the number of years, best case scenario, the empire has left. But if you ask me, I think that's bullshit too. I think we'll fall off the edge of the cliff way before then. I think it's slouching towards Bethlehem. I think it's heading our direction. Happy Memorial Day. And if you want to go, pay respect to your mom or dad at their gravesite and say a prayer, God bless. Say a prayer for peace. Say a prayer that this nonsense ends. That would be my suggestion. If you want to be respectful, go to the gravesite and say a prayer that things like Memorial Day could one day be in the rearview mirror. But if you're going to pray for the empire, for more of this war and killing, more of the soldiers going out blowing things up, if you're going to hope for a contract for your company, Raytheon, Lockheed, Microsoft, or Amazon, they get a security contract, shithead. If you're going to pray for money and wealth and power in the currently constructed Death Star that is the United States of America, you know, I don't think that prayer is going to go anywhere but down. And not towards the grave, not towards the person you left, a little bit further down where there's a guy that lives, he's got horns, he carries around a pitchfork. That's the only place prayers like that go. First topic, once again, Memorial Day, Monday. May the 29th. I'm going to read an article from Zero Hedge, but it was originally published in the Epoch Times by author Leah Onely. I don't know. O'Neely? I don't know. Epoch Times. Might as well be Mossad CIA. Headline, Zero young healthy individuals died of COVID-19, Israeli data show. Now, this is a little bit of wordsmithing here, so we got to be careful. Zero healthy individuals under the age of 50 have died of COVID-19 in Israel, according to a newly released data. And I quote, zero deceased of 18 to 49 years of age with no underlying morbidities, the Israel Ministry of Health said in response to the formal request from an attorney. Officials noted that the statement only applies to COVID-19 deaths where the MOH conducted an epidemiological investigation and had received information about the underlying diseases. Wow, I think lawyers wrote this. Zero is a very, very clear number and cannot be subject to interpretation, Yoav Yehezkeli, a specialist in internal medicine and medical management and former lecturer in the Department of Emergency and Disaster Management at Tel Aviv University in Israel, told the Epoch Times, why were all the extreme measures of school closures, vaccination of children, lockdowns needed, he added. The MOH did respond to a request for comment. You know, I don't want to read any more of this because it's so fucking batshit crazy. I tell people, and I want to stick to my guns on this, don't rent out your mind to the psyops at this point. You're going to see, oh my God, did you hear? Target was going to have, like, stuff for people, and now they removed the stuff, and those people that had the stuff removed are now very upset. If you want to rent out your mind to any of the artificially intelligent drag queen COVID-19 Ukraine Putin story time bullshit, that's on you. That's on you at this point. It is almost June 2023. 2024 is not going to be as advertised, period. Or I'll be in a mental hospital this time next year, either of which could happen. So if you want to rent out your head to stuff that is stupid, and I gotta say this before I continue, that is up to you. That is your choice. My advice is don't do it. Let's play pretend. Let's play pretend. Okay? Because if you read the whole article, and again, you can if you want to, you will find that it was definitely written by people, I think, putting together class action lawsuits. And if we play pretend and we think that 2024 is going to be anything like we're told, then maybe you can play pretend that the legal system, as stated, will be functioning in 2024. Yeah, let's play pretend. Let's pretend that 2024 is going to be as advertised. There's going to be a presidential election. RFK Jr. is going to run. Donald Trump might run. All the fancy people will be running for office in 2024. Let's play pretend. If most people who lose their jobs and have no money only get to about 33%, one-third, roughly, of where I'm at, you will have a tsunami of class action lawsuits, many of which will be, you know, being in process in 2024, perhaps precisely 2024. Because if you're going to do this type of class action lawsuit, you want to do it in an election year, motherfucker. You want to put people on the hot seat. That's how you get the free Fed bucks fast, fucker. So a lot of these things are going to be scheduled for 2024 Bo Blimp Doc. And you only have to reach my position by a third. You only have to basically say things like this nutty article says, well, it turns out that the fake pandemic wasn't as dangerous. It turns out that fake pandemics are not dangerous at all in terms of epidemiology. In terms of damage to society, in terms of psychological damage to individuals, in terms of covering up massive child abuse, yeah, the fake COVID-19 was really bad. In terms of killing small businesses, in terms of killing what you thought were your civil liberties, the COVID-19 psyop was pretty bad. But it turns out, you know, Ministry of Health in the state of Israel, that fake pandemics don't kill anybody. In terms of the epidemiology, they just don't. And this issue does continue to irk me because it's kind of like, it's as if there's a functor that involves a fractional reduction, like 1 over x, but it's not 1 over x because it's going to take a while. But it's as if the limit process is as, you know, n or x approaches infinity. You get very close to zero, but you never get there. One is divided by this functor value, and the number will get bigger, so the number overall will get smaller, but you never get to zero. Only as x approaches infinity do you get to zero. That's the limit. When I think about these psyops, the heat death of these psyops is a lot like that, in the sense that assuming we had another 100 years, there would still be COVID people passing down from generation to generation. Wear the coffee filter. Get the brand new super coffee filter. And, you know, don't invite people to your homes unless they're willing to wear a coffee filter. Yeah. If we had that kind of time, I don't think we do. I think some things are about to happen here pretty soon, and they're going to be real things, not make-believe things, not psyop things, not trauma-based mind control things, but actual real things. And I think a lot of people, even when it begins to happen, will be so blinded by their lesser catastrophes, so blinded by the military psychological warfare, that they still won't see the beast slouching towards Bethlehem. They won't see it. They won't see it. They won't be able to see it. And again, I'm not saying any of this in terms of prophecy. I am using this as a metaphor. I am not saying that we are on the edge of the end times. But honestly, every day I wake up, I flip a coin. Could today be the day? You know? Two men walking up a hill. One keeps, you know, one is gone and one is left standing still, right? Something like that. Yeah. But no, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the fact that I think something is very near, a very real, of the earth, of this world we live in type thing. And it's very close. And when it hits, even though it'll be obvious, a lot of people won't see it. Even though it will be as obvious as a gigantic earthquake, even though it will be as obvious as all the volcanoes going off, a lot of people just won't see it. And there are things you can remove from your list. The reset, the machine revolution, I beat that robot to death, that fear to death. Some new pandemic, the Russians, the Chinese. All the fear monkeys that the CIA has given you, none of these are going to be it, okay? That's also part of what's been going on, part of the process. They have been carpet bombing your third eye with a lot of other kinds of bullshit, a lot of limited hangouts, and none of them are going to be it. I can tell you that right now. So if you're afraid of drag queen story time, if you're scared of Vladimir Putin, if you spend your day in fear that some monkey herpes COVID virus is going to crawl up your butt pipe and kill you, then what I can tell you is what is coming has nothing to do with that bullshit. Period. Nothing. I do not think 2024 will be as advertised, but if you want to play pretend, like I said, you can play pretend. And part of the pretend game is, imagine if all the unemployed people who need money only get to a point in terms of their perspective that is one third of where I'm at. If you can fraction these things out, imagine you only get 33% there. You will have a tsunami of class action lawsuits. Every major hospital system in the United States will be facing many class action lawsuits. And unless there's an act of Congress, a whole bunch of hospital systems will go bankrupt and a bunch of others will reduce their services, irrespective of whatever printed government money gets sent their direction. That is if you think 2024 is going to be normal. Yeah. The brief intermission. That's what I'm calling 2023. A lot of low-rent psyop bullshit, a lot of side-eye, trauma-based mind control hubba-balooey. A lot of scrombo freaks in Sector 43 pretending to be Demlion hordes from Region 7. Read the study. Nobody died of the COVID that was healthy under. Nobody. You can save space, Ministry of Health. Nobody died of the make-believe virus. Okay, next topic. Wow. So this article comes from theantiwar.com and was published on 5/25/2023. Headline, and it's authored by Dave DeCamp. Headline, the U.S. building new base in northern Syria. The construction demonstrates that the U.S. has no plans to leave Syria. And just as a reminder, one of the states of the United States, one of the territories to include Guam and Puerto Rico, none of them are Syria. The U.S.-led anti-ISIS coalition is building a new military base in Syria's northern province of Raqqa, the New Arab reported, citing a source close to the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces. Wow. The U.S. backs the SDF and keeps about 900 troops in eastern Syria, allowing the U.S. to control about one-third of Syria's territory. The report said there are currently about 24 U.S.-led military sites spread throughout eastern Syria. While the U.S. says it's in Syria to fight ISIS, the presence is part of Washington's economic war against Damascus, which includes crippling economic sanctions. ISIS also holds no significant territory, and the Syrian government and its allies would continue to fight the remnants of the terror group if the U.S. withdrew. But the construction of the new base demonstrates the U.S. plans to continue the occupation indefinitely. In March, the House voted down a resolution introduced by Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida that would have ordered the President Biden to withdraw from Syria. The legislation failed in a vote of 103-321, with 56 Democrats and 47 Republicans voting in favor of the bill. The House also recently voted to maintain sanctions on Syria. After an earthquake killed thousands of Syrians, only two members of Congress voted against the legislation. The U.S. could come under pressure to withdraw from Syria and lift sanctions on the country as more and more regional countries are normalizing ties with the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Saudi Arabia spearheaded an effort to bring Syria back into the Arab League, despite U.S. objection. Yeah, that article is from theantiwar.com, and it was written by Dave DeCamp on May the 25th, 2023, Bo Blimtok. And I already ranted a little bit about this, so I'm not sure how much time I want to spend on this. If you want to go through a gyration in your head, assuming this coming Thanksgiving is a thing, I don't know what it's going to look like. Black Friday is going to be Black and Blue Friday, but assume you've got a Thanksgiving coming up in a number of months, and you're sitting down with all your friends and family, and you're talking about the United States and what you're thankful for, and Thanksgiving and other kinds of Thanksgiving bullshit. What do you say about Syria? What do you say? Do you say they attacked us on 9/11? Well, that's wrong on multiple levels, but no, you can't say that. Do you say that they created ISIS? Why would they? ISIS rolled out of the desert magically in brand new Toyota pickups with NATO chambered 5.56 carbines in the spring of 2014. I remember that. I saw ISIS magically roll out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, we had an excuse to invade a sovereign country called Syria. And what's important, folks, what's really critical in this story is that a few months earlier, Obama wanted to invade Syria. But he couldn't get the support, and the British Parliament voted against it. This was the autumn of 2013. And so magically, in the spring of 2014, ISIS rolls out of the desert, brand new Toyota pickups, NATO chambered carbines, M250 cals. Nobody really explains the logistics or supply chain behind all that because, hey, we can control guns, right? I mean, again, if you're a progressive, how do you keep the stupid shit in your head at the same time? How? On the one hand, you want to tell me that ISIS can get a bunch of NATO chambered carbines, you know, that are full auto, no big fucking deal, all this NATO equipment because, hey, how could we control it? But then you want to tell me you can collect all the guns, shithead. You tell me you can go door to door and take all the rifles here. One of these things is not like the other, shithead. Progressive, you dumb shit. You can, if you want to claim, to have no power over ISIS magically getting all that NATO equipment. Or you can admit, basically, and just, you know, admit that there's no way. No way. No way that you could take all the guns. But the point is, this is the mind of a progressive. They're going to convince you they can take all the guns, but they couldn't do it with ISIS because they were magical. Whatever, you know, fuck you. They were in the desert, not in the jungle, not on a ship going across the open sea, in the desert. They could have taken out all those motherfuckers with cluster bombs in about 24 hours if they wanted to, if they were real. Those are my thoughts on Syria. If you want to play pretend in your head because you know something's coming, but you're too scared to confront it, so you pick the lesser catastrophe, the fear monkey that your CIA Langley operative hands out to you like a canapé during the brief intermission, you're all hanging out in the anteroom, the little light hasn't come on yet, Act 3 hasn't started yet, so have your little hors d'oeuvre of bullshit if you want to. I don't give a fuck. I don't. I really don't. I care enough to pray. I care enough to pray for the world, and I care enough to pray for the people I love. But am I going to jump off a cliff because you think it's a good fucking idea? No. Am I going to live my life according to your whims because you don't like it? No. You can go fuck yourself. If you want to build a giant ship out of steel, out of stuff that becomes dust, because it all becomes dust. If you want to build your magical ship out of steel that becomes dust and sail across the ocean sea and pretend you're unsinkable, you do that, sir. You load your shit up with every fucking neocon you can find. Load up the Titanic with the Lindsey Grahams and the other fuckheads. Let them go on the ocean sea, but leave the rest of us the fuck alone. There's your thought on Syria. Next topic. Space. Yeah. You know, I beat up on space a lot, but I was looking at that list of space travelers. You know, the list that's still less than 700 people since 1961 Bo Blimp Doc. That's more than 60 years. That's more than 60 fucking years. I don't know the number, but I would wager in the first 10 years after Lindbergh crossed the Atlantic, 1 million unique people crossed the Atlantic. Maybe it wasn't that big a number, but I'll tell you one thing. After 60 years, it was probably in the hundreds of millions, if not tens of millions, and it was way beyond the number 700. Well, space is hard. How hard is it? You can tell me space is hard, and then you're going to tell me you guys went to the moon a half a dozen times between 1969 and 1972. Space is real hard, but you sent people a quarter of a million miles away through the Van Allen belt, through radiation, through micrometeorites, through you name it. They landed on some shitty-ass shitty-ass paper mache aluminum foil contraption that kiddie school built, that the short bus built, and some of them lived there for 2 or 3 days because how the fuck do we know? But then you're going to tell me space is really hard. Which one is it, shithead? Is space the thing where you can send people to the moon and then forget how you did it for 50 years? Or is space really hard and you can't do stuff because it's so fucking hard? You see, I'm okay with you space nuts talking up space, but you got to explain the 50-year gap with respect to the moon. And you have to explain this really measly number of 700 people. If you want to tell me you're going to have colonies on Mars in 10 years, which, by the way, I've been promised every 10 years since I was born, and I ain't no young fucking kid. If you're going to tell me that shit, explain to me why fewer than 700 unique people have ever been to space. And again, space being defined by the Kármán line, which is roughly 50 miles up, or going up roughly 60 miles. But bottom line is, fewer than 700 people have ever been further. This is critical, folks. Have ever been further than 60 miles from the surface of the Earth. Maybe for as far as 150 miles, okay? And if you want to believe in the moon, a couple of them went 250,000 miles. But the bottom line is low Earth orbit or a lower altitude, a max of about 150. When you get to 700 miles up, well, that's where the Van Allen belts start. And I believe a space shuttle did it in like 1998. And they had to back off because, you know, they were being cooked. They were being cooked. So if you want to be someone who says we're going to be traveling to Mars and dumping people there by the millions in 10 years, explain to me why fewer than 700 people have ever been much further than 150 miles away from the Earth. And maybe a couple of those people went to the moon 50 fucking years ago. Maybe, right? I mean, I don't know how you fucking forget how you did that, right? How you do that? How do you forget it? How do you forget how you went to the moon for half a fucking century? Well, Dan, it's hard and people are stupid. If it's hard and people are stupid, why do you think I should believe they went to the moon? Because that shit doesn't make any sense. I can't think of anything more difficult. And given the propaganda, they'll even say, so difficult, but you're saying it's hard and all those people were fucking stupid. Pick one. Pick a lane, shithead. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. It's a good one. Thinking about space is like thinking about dragons or wizards. Dr. Freckles. I mean, thinking about space is like thinking about bugbears. You're playing D&D, it's 1983. Your friend is the dungeon master, and he's built quite a map. You're going out as a third level Orcmeister. Maybe you're a 14th level Wagerster. Maybe you're a mange or minge. Maybe you're a princess or queen. But you're gonna fight dragons. You're gonna kill wizards. You're gonna eat a bugbear, because it's 1983 and it's D&D. Thinking about space is a lot like thinking about dragons or wizards. Dr. Freckles. I agree with Dr. Freckles. Okay, if 700 people came up to me and said, Dan, there's a magical world, it's called Dolipia. It's just beyond the horizon. 700 of us have made it there over the last, I don't know, 60 years. We are all promising you that this place exists, and it's called Dolipia. And if you go into the magical box, you'll get transported there. Ignore the fact that, you know, it looks like there's a meat grinder underneath it. Just go into the magical box, Dan, because 700 people out of billions of people that have been alive in the last 60 years have told you it's a real place. (sighs) If we took the voices of minorities that seriously, things like Waco would never happen. We wouldn't feel like we could do that if we took a minority of voices out of the billions that seriously, but we don't. There's no basis for it. We don't have a history of it. We have a history of beating up on minorities. We have a history of setting fire to minorities. We have a history of rounding them up and putting them in special places called reservations. But we don't really have a history of taking their complaints seriously or listening to them. But some of you motherfuckers want me to take seriously a list of people, fewer than 700 people, a list I could read if I was really bored. I could go through all those names. Here are the people that have mostly only ever gotten, at most, 150 miles away from the Earth, basically. A few of them went a bit further. If you believe what you're told, right? Next topic. Dragons, wizards, and outer space. You figure that out for yourself, my friends. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. They say the Irish are the most in touch with the Lord because the Lord loves sinners. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to spend much time on this one. But, yeah, I think the Lord loves the Irish for a lot of different reasons. I think we're a very imaginative people. If we can't find it, we'll dream it. And sometimes those dreams come true because we put in the work. And sometimes we get drunk. So I think the Lord loves that. I think the Lord wants us to imagine a better world and put in the effort to get there, to do both. I also think, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but it's probably true. The Irish are, you know, drinkers of sorts. We drink. Maybe sometimes we drink too much. These days, I wonder if I drink too little. I'll be honest with you. I do. Before the Lord in heaven, I'm not proud of it, but when I look at my fellow human beings, even here in Skompton, Utah, on the edge of the desert, not far from where they tested some bombs, not far from Skinwalker Ranch, not far from where the demons dug a hole to hell because the Mormons killed a bunch of Indians and then lied about it. Not far from that, my friends. Even here in the middle of nowhere, guarded by demons and banshees and ghosts, even here, the sickness, it finds its way. The sickness of that outer world. The sickness that creeps through every mobile device, every smart device, every tablet, the sickness that comes through whatever radio a person's listening to, the sickness over the internet, that sickness, the sickness of the heart, the sickness of the soul that turns people into monsters only waiting for their opportunity. Next topic. No point in beating up on the Irish. I'm Irish, I guess, so next topic, my friends. Another quote from Dr. Freckles, you don't have to do everything. Just do the right things. This isn't a very profound quote, and it's also open to interpretation. Dan, what do you mean by the right thing? Okay, everything, I get it. You know, you don't have to do everything, but just do the right things. Okay. Fair enough, I'm a Christian and I'm an anarchist. The right thing is to respect other people's space. The right thing is to live according to the non-aggression principle. The right thing is to support liberty over tyranny. The right thing is to practice self-defense in every form that exists, including intellectual self-defense. Self-defense against the bullshit military psychological warfare that is ongoing at a high tempo since the spring of 2020. That's the right thing. And I'm a Christian, so the right thing is to live the kingdom life. And it turns out, being an anarchist and being a Christian, that works. You know, there's a lot of similarity, a lot of connections, a lot of philosophy that is equivalent. And so it's not hard for me to be those things. I don't know how you vote and support Democrats or Republicans, and I sure as shit don't know how you tune into Happy King Charles story time and call yourself a fucking Christian. I don't. Because there is 1 Samuel chapter 8, and you do have but one Lord, your Lord in heaven. If you pick another Lord on the earth, well, okay. If you're living in Rome in the first century, there is a book that deals with that. But if you're not, and you have options, you should pick the options, brothers and sisters. You should do the right thing. I used to believe that the United States was the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we were brave because we understood that liberty was an essential value. It wasn't a nice to have. It wasn't a Christmas gift. The president didn't say, once a year you get to be free. That free was essential, that sovereignty was essential. Most of our founding fathers, if not all of them, believed something to this effect. And that it took bravery to live free, because the truth is, this is not a perfect world. And unlike the communists and other bonsai economists, we don't really want to fix things by simply building body dumps and killing a bunch of people and dumping them there. Maybe some Americans do at this point. Like I said, there is a sickness out there. And so there are Americans, and I don't know if it's enough, who wouldn't mind chucking people like your good friend Uncle Dan into a pit someplace. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I will not go quietly into that good night. But I used to think this was the land of the free and the home of the brave. And that we were brave because we wanted to be free. We wanted to have that spirit, that energy, those choices. Choices that come with consequences. But we were wise enough to know consequences are always there. There are always consequences. There are always choices. Something good or something bad was going to happen. What did Ayn Rand say once? You can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. I think that quote from Ayn Rand is particularly poignant for these years post-March 2020, post the beginning of what I can only call the strategic global application of military psychological warfare, and in a form that makes it look like the leading tool, which means maybe the first time in human history military psychological warfare was the king of battle. That doesn't happen normally. It doesn't happen in conflict normally, but for some reason it is the king of battle. Oh, artillery will say, we're the king of battle. No, no, no. Since March of 2020, mind-fucking people has been the king of battle. That is where we're at. We're not in the land of the free. We're not in the home of the brave. And if you talk about it, they'll tell you to go to Somalia. And if you explain to them, you'll go to Somalia if all you shitty shitbirds don't follow you there. But the reality is the shitbirds are going to follow you there. They're going to dump their toxic waste in the fishing grounds. They're going to complain that the fishermen have become pirates. And they're going to periodically drop bombs on your homes, because why not? Move to fucking Somalia? Are you a fucking stupid motherfucking idiot? Why would I go there? I'd be doubling down on the shit that I don't like here. Move to Somalia. Fuck you. You move to Somalia. Move to Syria. Why don't you go camping next to one of those outposts in Syria? Move there. Hang out with the soldiers right around there. I don't know if they'll let you in the perimeter, but you might get raped. And nobody will care. You don't have to do everything. We can't. Okay? You can't do everything. I believe that I've unmasked a sheepdog, not a shepherd, a sheepdog in recent weeks. And my evidence for this is the fact that I used his name in a podcast, and that podcast was immediately banned by YouTube. So I believe I've unmasked a sheepdog, and he's the kind of sheepdog that will tell people to act like, be like Marcus Aurelius, my favorite emperor hour. Be like this, be like that, be perfect, be like me. Okay, okay, Dane, I get it. But a lot of the stuff you say doesn't make any fucking sense. You're telling me that they're polluting the sky and the pollutants are making people dumber. But the best strategy at this point is reasoning with people. This doesn't make any fucking sense. It sounds like the pollutants are making you dumber. There might be things you can do if people are poisoning you. There might be things you can do. But handing out flyers at the farmer's market, way, way, way too fucking late for that type of shithead nonsense, really. Way too late. Especially if I believe the crap that comes out of your mouth. Am I right, Dane? You don't have to do everything. You can't do everything. You can do some things. You can do the right thing, ideally, but you can't fix the world. And there are times when the trouble that awaits you is something that is necessary. That maybe it becomes unavoidable and fateful because it's a lesson that you and I need to be taught. I'm pretty certain that whatever beast is slouching its way towards Bethlehem is a kind of teacher in a way. Not a good teacher, not a friendly teacher, definitely not the teacher you want or I want, but perhaps the teacher we deserve. It's a lesson. A lesson that's coming. It's coming this way. And a lot of us will fail the lesson because we've already failed it. And some of us think we'll pass because we've succeeded so far, but that's probably also not true. And I'm not even talking about the end times, brothers and sisters. I'm just talking about good old-fashioned planet Earth consequences that are inevitable. That if you do stupid shit long enough and you try to hide it, eventually that bulge, that canister, that container of all your nonsense, eventually it bursts open. Eventually the chickens do come home to roost. And eventually, no amount of increasing the debt ceiling is actually going to fix your debt problem. I'm sorry, I know that I shouldn't have to explain this to adults, but increasing the debt ceiling doesn't fix your debt problem. It never did. It never will. When I was a kid, I think the national debt was still less than a trillion. Maybe it was around a trillion. This time next year, if you think 2024 is going to be a thing, it could be around. It could be way more than the agreed upon 32 or 33. I think we could be pushing it a bit higher than that because we're going to go through many of these negotiations. Yeah, they're gonna allow 4 trillion more. Really, you think so? When was the last time they ever did that, where they said you can have this much more? You can have this much more. You can have this much more stuff, and they stopped there. When was the last time they ever stopped? When was the last time the federal government sat down at the banquet table and knew how to push the plate away? Yeah, get over that shit. If you think that's the reality, then I don't know. I mean, you're definitely, yeah. Next topic. Oh, I have a screenshot of a Spotify server error. I'm not going to spend time on this. I don't know. I have a feeling that it could be the popping smoke scenario I talked about in January 2020, where towards the end, and again, this was before the monkey herpes really became a big thing, but I knew that everything was becoming a little bit unwound. Before the end, the social media, the digital ghetto, could seem a lot like a prison, where all the guards leave and the warden leaves and people just, oh my God, look at this, we're all free, we're all free. And this is why I went back on Twitter last October, by the way. And not that I think Twitter was going to be a good place for me, but I wanted to see if we were getting to that point. And I think we could be close. So, you know, will Spotify ban your good friend Uncle Dan? Who the fuck knows? They shadow banned me already. So does YouTube. So does basically the internet. So the question of whether or not I'm ever going to achieve a goal of 100 listeners or 200 listeners, wow. I think SoundCloud said I peaked out at 270. ask me if I believe any of the SoundCloud numbers, even though I paid the money, even though they provably shadow banned me. Ask me if I believe them. I don't. So who the fuck knows, right? Anyways, next topic, last topic. Good day. Dr. Freckles, if it's not salvation critical, then it's opinion. It really doesn't matter all that much. Yeah. Dr. Freckles. If it's not salvation critical, then it's opinion. And it really doesn't matter all that much. Now, for a lot of my listeners who are not Christian, who might be just, you know, might be atheist, fine. I'm glad you listen. You know, you don't have to, but you do. And I'm going to say God bless, even though for you that probably seems like a curse. If it's not salvation critical does refer to a Christian conundrum, which is there is dogma, or rather there is instruction that comes from Christ that is 100% salvation critical. If I want to be saved, I have to be able to forgive. I have to be able to forgive everybody I think has wronged me. I have to be willing to do so. It doesn't mean I'm going to be friends with them. It doesn't mean we'll hang out. It doesn't mean anything beyond the fact that I have to let go of that hate, let go of that sense of wrath, and be able to forgive. So forgiveness, if you're a Christian, in my opinion, is salvation critical. Can you have sinned and still be saved? Yes. So being a sinner, you know, is a state of man, but it doesn't necessarily mean you can't be saved, and therefore it isn't salvation critical. It isn't. You can be a sinner and still be saved. That doesn't mean Christ wants you to sin, by the way. Some people believe in the rapture. Some people don't. I've spoken with my friend Mike in Seattle about this a few times, and he and I both kind of agree that whether you believe in the rapture, which means the resurrection of the believers before the end times really gets going, whether or not you believe in the rapture of the believers is really not salvation critical. It isn't. There's plenty of evidence in the New Testament that points towards something like this. On the other hand, people have different interpretations. And as far as the word rapture goes, it's not to be found, I believe, in the New Testament or the Bible, but definitely not to be found. So it's an interpretation, and therefore not salvation critical. In fact, I'll go beyond that. When it comes to prophecy, if you're simply expressing an opinion about prophecy, and this is important, if you're expressing an opinion but you're not scaring people, like I'm not telling you, I believe the Antichrist is coming. The most I'll tell you is I think there's a 50% chance. That's it. If you want to get scared by 50-50 at this point, that's up to you. It's a great discontinuity. We are in a state space of rapid change where probabilities are rolling over every millisecond. If you want to get freaked out by the flip of a coin, that's up to you. Believe me, you got bigger fish to fry. So beliefs about prophecy that are not harmful, and this is tricky because prophecy really isn't about predicting the future. So if you're out there telling people the Antichrist is this person and the end times begins tomorrow and all this other stuff, and you're doing it in such a way that you're serious and therefore scaring people, like what was done with COVID-19, I think that's wrong. But if you're expressing an opinion and saying, I could be wrong and I'm not a biblical scholar and I don't claim to have full knowledge of prophecy, I think that's okay. But it's a tricky issue because prophecy can be scary. And for some people, they just can't handle it. If you talk about it, it's like, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. Well, let me just clear that up once again for the millionth time. Nothing about prophecy is about the end of the world. Nothing. The fact that the Bible has a last page is the fact that the Bible has a last page. It doesn't mean there's a final page for God. So in terms of the end of the world, there is nothing in Christianity that speaks to the end of the world. Are there different epochs, different periods, different dispensations and covenants? Absolutely. Could we head towards another phase of history that could be radically different from the one we got used to? Sure. But it doesn't mean the end of the world. It just means transition. So having opinions about prophecy and even talking about prophecy, I don't think that's salvation critical. However, you got to be careful because people can get scared. I think there are things that are salvation critical that make me put into question many people who call themselves Christian. I think it's clear from the time that Jesus spent in the desert that the stuff of this world, okay, all the stuff of this world, as wonderful as it is, and it's another reason to read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, but as wonderful as all this stuff is, and it is great, and God does want us to be happy, all of it turns to dust. And if you would trade your everlasting soul for a steaming pile of shit, then that pretty much tells you what your salvation's going to be. All of it turns to dust. There are things that are important, and there are things that are not important. Let's say you have a dog, and it's a good dog. In fact, this dog woke you up when a fire started in your kitchen that very well could have burned down your house. This dog loves you. And then one day, you're working on a project, you leave it alone for an hour, you come back, and the dog tore your project to bits and pieces. Dogs do this. Do you get rid of your dog because the stuff on your desk got tore up? I'm not saying you don't get a little upset, maybe you even put the dog in time out, but do you get rid of your dog? Do you abandon your dog to the streets because you came back and your model, your stuff, maybe you're an architect, all your pretty things you spent so much time on were turned to crap? These are things that are salvation critical questions, in my opinion, brothers and sisters. They go to forgiveness. They go to the golden rule. They go to the law of the prophets that Christ taught us while he was here. Which is more important, the dog that saved your butt and loves you and, yeah, doesn't have an IQ like yours and doesn't know really or understand that you've been working on that thing? Do you get rid of the dog because of that? Or do you recognize that, yes, you put a lot of work into it. Yes, it's a big deal. It stresses you out. But it's not more important than this dog. And as God said to Jonah, if there are animals and cattle and plants and whatnots in Nineveh, if there are so many things and so many people in Nineveh, should I not care for all those things? Should I not be concerned for all of it? As I am concerned for you, Jonah, as you sit up there on that hill, judging others, waiting for the Ninevites to sin. I mean, I paraphrase, but it's up to you, folks. There are things right now that I believe can save our souls, and every one of us can do them, including prayer. There are things right now we can do for each other that potentially can soften the blow of what's coming. But like I said, if you want to go off a cliff, I'm not going to build you a magical cliff protection technology. If you want to hold a stick of dynamite in your hand and light the fuse, I'm not going to tell you that someone's going to magically put it out. If you want to take a risk with your life, that's your choice. And God bless, I want to live in a free country where some idiot can go to a canyon someplace with a stick of dynamite, light the stick of dynamite, and see if God will put it out. That is your options. That is your choice. However, I would suggest that if the fuse does go out once, you don't test him again. I would make that suggestion. For Monday, Memorial Day, May the 29th, 2023, if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to, there's a donation link for PayPal. Before you donate any money, understand that you should take care of your food, your water, your shelter. Take care of the people you love and care about. If you are stockpiling a little bit of food for yourself and your family, and you have a dog or cat, but I'm just going to emphasize the dog, there are different kinds of pets, make sure you have some dog food also. Make sure you think about that dog or that cat. Think about that animal. The reality is your cat and your dog in the coming months and years might end up saving your butt. you know. But if you've done all the things you need to do and a lot of the things you want to do, if you've got a reasonable amount of security around your shelter and your food and your water, and you still have a lot of money left over that you were going to spend in Vegas on cocaine and hookers, you don't have to spend it on cocaine and hookers yourself. I will help you. If you send me some money, I can have cocaine and hookers too. Yeah, you can donate if you want to. You're not obligated to. It's why I beg for money at the end. May was an expensive month for me, and I had to raise a lot of money. And I'm still a little short, and so I need to come up with a couple $100. And if I can come up with a couple $100 more, and at least I enter June, rent paid, website taken care of for another 6 months, and a few other issues taken care of. But the reality is I don't have a lot of listeners, and I do have a few really, really, really generous listeners who are so generous, I sometimes feel the right thing to do would be to turn back the donations, but the reality is I'm a hobo. So you donate to me, you got the warning. I currently have food, water, shelter. I currently am a living person here in Scompton, Utah. And if you enjoy this podcast and you don't have the money, that's okay. I said this in a podcast, I think the last one, but I might be better off than you, so it's okay. You listening and giving some of your time to listen is something. So it's a big deal to me. So if you don't have a few bucks or whatever, you just don't have the cash, I'm okay with that. And if you want to donate a whole bunch of money, I don't know how to put it. If I've given you the disclosure statement, I've told you to take care of the people you love and care for, take care of yourself, and then once you put the oxygen mask on your own face, worry about mine. But if you listen to that disclaimer, that disclosure, if I've told you this and you still have money burning a hole in your pocket to find Vegas, a hooker, a case of the crabs, and a case of whiskey, then you don't need the crabs or the whiskey or the hooker. You can send that money right here to Scompton, Utah. We'll have some fun. Have a great rest of your Monday.